All right. I couldn't help but hear a little altercation there. Everything all right?
Oh, yeah, that's one of our buddies from the Hedge Group up in New York. Just giving him a hard time.
Okay. All right, so last week we had a kind of a unique assignment, and I don't know whether I just didn't get it or you are sending it or maybe you didn't do it. But the assignment was to set up two boards and begin the process of holding ourselves accountable for activity versus results. And one would be an activity board, a giving board, and the other one would be a scoreboard. And I just wanted to see how you did on that and what the outcome was.
Perfect. Paul, do you get the roles and how we worked on the game card and what we were working on?
Sorry, Rob, the game board, right? We cut out there for a little bit.
Yeah, the game board.
Okay.
The giving,
yep.
Yeah.
So what we did is we had everybody go back and following their business plans, kind of detail the things that they felt should go on the game board. We got together as a team and kind of discussed those. And then this past Monday, we had our first game board meeting. We hadn't done such a good job the first week of tracking it really at all because we just hadn't had time. So next Monday, I think we've actually all agreed as to what everybody's tracking.
Okay.
And then next Monday we'll start, and we're kind of just tracking it on Excel.
Okay. So give me an idea as to what you're tracking and how you're doing it, because it's the first time, and you know sometimes we don't really understand exactly what we're doing the first time of doing anything.
Oh, yeah, I have it on my desk.
Yeah, so, Rob, this is Sean. Just give you an example of what I'm tracking is, you know, we've started the daily meeting with the team in terms of going over operations. So we're, you know, again, tracking, making sure that we have full participation in that piece. This is more of a tracking item that we're doing here in the short run, which is getting all of our 12-4-2 calls scheduled. And I think as we discussed over the course of the last couple of months as we've been implementing this, it's been more of on an ad hoc basis where we were reaching out to clients without scheduled times. We're actually now going, and Tara did a really good job of developing the calendar, fitting in the specific time slots. So we're now reaching out, you know, across our monthly calls to get those scheduled going forward. So that's something else that we're tracking here in the short run. Additionally, we're tracking the monthly team member meetings. We've gone through those. Those have gone well so far also. We're going to make sure that we have those completed towards the end of the month. And then, you know, meeting with individual COIs, both internal and external, we're tracking those as well. Each of us have, you know, specific goals on the spreadsheet that we've built out. And, again, we're going to go through the results meeting for the first time this Friday as well.
Good. Okay. So what I was concerned about is that you're having one meeting combining the two. So let's you get the fact that there's two separate meetings, and one is results. We call it the scoreboard, and the other being the game board because it's a game. It's a game of activity. And that's the, you know, we call it the giving board or the game board. And the idea is to track the things that were really focused on each individual's activity, and the scoreboard is based on your role and responsibility as one of the five-star models. That's the Friday meeting.
Right. So this Friday, Rob, we were going to get together and kind of agree on what the scoreboard should look like for each one of the VP roles.
Right.
So we haven't made it that
far. They should do that themselves, present that Friday.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's right.
No. So the goal. So like for – so, Rob, if I understand it correctly, so for – like marketing and growth, it would be for the scoreboard, it might be like number of prospects added to the list or number of new AUM, right?
As right, opposed exactly.
To number, okay.
Exactly. We're really talking, you know, bottom line results of, okay, so what are the bottom line results of planning? Are we doing any planning? You know, that's the bottom line. The bottom line results of implementation would be, you know, are we implementing the plans? Are we getting some traction in terms of getting some plans implemented? And where do we have a consistent? You know, we're moving ahead with a consistent process. We're segmenting and getting rid of the outliers, so our client's investment process would look nice and clean.
Mm-hmm.
Results of brand marketing or brand management is, you know, we're implementing Supernova. We've got, 80% scheduled. That's the results of the work we're doing on the brand vice president. And then marketing would be, yeah, exactly. Great. It's great. We're doing all this giving and meeting and all these other things, but what's the bottom line? Did we come up with new relationships, assets under management, number of really good prospects that we have in the pipeline? And you can, you know, you guys probably already do this, but you can create a 90, 60, 30 day calendar, you know, spreadsheet of your prospects, and that's who would present that. And then leadership would be kind of a summary of how we're doing as a team. What's the bottom line? Our revenues are, 10% or behind, or, I know you guys were down a little for the year, so, we were down this, and now we're down that, and we're making good progress towards getting where we want to. It's sort of the bottom line.
Right.
Okay. And each one of you is going to have a little different, different spin on everything because of where what your role and responsibility is. The meeting on Monday is all about gearing up the activity. You know, I met with this many clients, I met with this many prospects, I met with a center of influence, I met with such and such, I set up such and such prospecting appointments, and so forth. I helped out, and you can go with the giving part of it, too. I'm having some people do some exercises where they're tracking everybody's trying to do three really nice things for clients every day. So what were the really cool things you did this week for clients that really helped it out? I connected this person with they are concerned about this, and I connected them with a cardiologist, or I connected them to this person, or I helped out this person. So it's a kind of a nice thing, and everybody on the team and participate in those things where we're just really giving, And here's one of the amazing things that happened this week is that we're focused. I had a team just do this and just track because their activity just wasn't there. They just weren't getting the activity, and they wouldn't meet with centers of influence. And I said, don't think about getting a thing. I just want you to meet with people and figure out what they need and give them whatever they need. If you can do it, if you can possibly do it, you do it. And so that's what they did. Then they came back and said, my God, it was a great week. We we just gave and gave, and guess what? We got you know, we didn't even ask, but we got two guys' referrals, and we were, all of a sudden, good things started to happen for them. So that's kind of the game. So we're going to measure. Monday is all about activity, and Friday is all about results. And I think by separating the two, you see where we're going and why we're going there. So here's what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to physically take a picture of this, okay? I just think accountability is so important. So take a picture of it when you get it done and send it to me, and then for both meetings, just so I know what it looks like, because, you know, sometimes people get way off track on these things.
Okay.
Okay.
Rob, this is Sean. As I'm looking at the list that we're using here to track, we've got keeping track of internal COIs, but Rob has done a really good job in terms of reaching out to internal partners. You know, you can kind of ignore that first 5 minutes of the conversation today as to how that went. But he's reached out to a number of people in the building who I think are going to be able to assist us in terms of increasing our acumen, as you've said, to become more, not necessarily subject matter experts, but increasing our acumen in terms of the 24-month process and conversations that we're going to have with clients. Should that be tracked separately away from just being an internal COI?
No, that would be part of what the Vice President of Implementation would report on Friday. So he would talk about the that would be Claudia, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So Claudia would talk about this is what we're working on this month, all right? You know, this month is this. Or maybe you haven't started. So he'd say, okay, in September, our focus is going to be on long-term care. And we're going to have some training on it. And so I'd like you to all, you know, read this and, you know, listen to this video, or here's the product that seems to be the best and of all the products that we've got in long-term care. So become familiar with it now. We're going to do a little workshop on it internally so everybody's comfortable with it. And then, I'll help you write up a little script on what to say, give you a couple of stories on long-term care, and then we'll present it as part of our education to all of our clients in September. Okay, so that would be part of the presentation on Friday.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good question. Each one of these roles is really amazingly important. And you wonder, how the heck did we ever get this stuff organized before? And sort of everybody did everything. And what happens is when you focus on doing something very well and you know your other guys are doing their job very well, then your productivity goes way up. So you'll do, you know, even though, you know, maybe, you know, October or November is mortgage month or something, and your intention is to educate your clients on mortgages, let me tell you something. You're going to end up doing mortgages, okay? Talk to 100 clients, you're going to do 10 mortgages. And so you're going to do business out of these things, so be prepared for it. I mean, go into it knowing somebody's going to say yes. And so know how to write the ticket, know how the process goes, become familiar with it. It's very important. You'd be surprised. What they'll do is they'll refer you to people. No, I don't, you know, and you can even say, you know, I know you don't need a mortgage. Yours is paid off. But I wanted to educate you on this because there's a whole lot of different things going on right now. You know, your son has a 4 1/4 mortgage. I know cash flow is a problem for him. If he went to a monthly floater, a monthly adjustable, we could get it down to 2 1/8. You know, his payments would go from $1,200 a month down to $400. And you don't have to do that forever, but, you know, until his cash flow situation improves, maybe that'd be something to consider. So there's a lot of different solutions to problems that you don't even know exist in some cases that can be very near and dear to the client. Okay?
Got it.
So, you know, think expansively about multiple family members and, yeah, do we care about doing a $200,000 mortgage? No. But if it solves your client, who has $10 million with you, solves his problem without handing the kid money, that's a pretty nice thing you're doing. And you thought of it. He didn't. So you just solved a serious problem he has with his son not having the cash flow, and he doesn't want to give him money and spoil him. See? So it's a different way of thinking, I know, but it really, really can work.
Rob, is there in the book, I may not have seen it, a list of recommended topics for the 24-month calendar? Or do we just, there is one, okay, Tara's nodding her head, yes.
Yeah, do we have, I think it's on, if I'm not mistaken, on page 60, I think there's the 24-month calendar. There's a lot to this, as you can see. We're organizing the whole team all at once, and trying to leverage capability of everybody in areas that they may not have really spent much time on. So please feel free to ask questions or dig into this in any way that you need to with me, because I know it's a big change.
Rob, this is Rob Reich. In terms of the recommended topics, is that in a priority that you've thought about? Is that the sequencing that you would do, or is that just a list of ideas?
No, Rob, it's a sequencing based on a 2-year, 24-month calendar.
Right.
So I tried to tried to think like you think, you know, knowing that, you know, November and December are going to be, taken up with tax selling, required minimum distributions, you know, stuff, right?
Yep.
That gets busy. So there's certain months that I knew would be busy months, so we didn't put a new topic. So out of the 24 months, we gave you 8 topics. Then there may be others that you want to add or subtract, but we tried to work it in so that it wouldn't be, and we gave you 2 months for each topic, so that you wouldn't kill yourselves. Meaning, you introduce mortgages 1 month, we know you're going to do 10 mortgages, therefore, you know, you're not going to introduce another topic the following month. You're still talking about mortgages. Somebody may not need mortgages. That's okay. There's plenty of other things to talk about. So we're not trying to every month give you a new topic because it'd be just too much. Plus the training and everything else, you want to be professional about this and do a really good job with it. All right. So I have thought through as best I can, you know, your life and how busy you are and everything else. This is a big change. We're adding a lot of structure, but we're also adding some leverage, meaning that when everybody does their job really well and you do your job really well, it really leverages the team. And you know that's because you're a team, but I can't tell you how many teams don't get any leverage out of the team. Everybody's doing the same thing. They're really just, they're not leveraging it. And FAs are doing CA work, and CAs are doing FA work, and it's just, you know, crazy.
Well, the one thing we're seeing already is that it also narrows everybody's focus and creates a lot higher level of accountability.
Oh, big time. Yeah. And professionalism. You're going to take things to another level because that's your baby. You know, when you're in charge of the investment process, you should be very proud of the investment process. You own it. And therefore, you know, when there's somebody wants to come in and, you know, a wholesaler wants you to buy a new fund or something, or, you know, wants to add a new money manager, you're responsible for making sure that if you listen to them, but you don't accept them unless it's really a good idea. So in this case, you don't need to have everybody going to wholesalers' meetings. I mean, the person that Claudia, who's in charge of the implementation, would be the person that would go. Everybody else would stay home and do their job. And if she thinks it's a great idea, she presents it to him, to you all, and maybe with that wholesaler, and says, "This, you know, out of the 10 people I've heard this year, this guy has got, this is a good story. And I want to add it here in the investment matrix and take out this. So let's talk about it." And one of the other things you guys can do, if you can get really organized, is the office can do the same thing. Meaning everybody that is, for example, the investment person on each team can meet together and talk about, you know, creating sort of an overall investment matrix and leverage the expertise of all the people in your office that are engaged in the investment process. And the same thing would be true of the planners. So we went so far as to have meetings that weren't sales meetings. They were meetings specifically for each of the five stars. So we'd have a planners meeting about planning issues and so forth. And it just made everybody, you know, attend the meetings because this was about their thing. We didn't waste time. You know, when we had a marketing meeting, it'd be about marketing. And same with the leadership. You know, get the leaders together and talk about leading teams and leveraging that and skill sets associated with that. So it's pretty fun. Anyway, well, let's start with the team, and then we'll go from there, right? All right. Any other questions about the game board / giving board and the scoreboard and tracking and accountability?
No.
I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about this. The lesson for this week, which is focusing week five. This is our first week of real organization. And we talk about building new centers of influence. Centers of influence seem to be the strongest way to leverage your practice with the shortest amount of time. Investment. But like advertising, it takes a consistent experience for your clients, for your centers of influence to believe that you are in fact reliable, trustworthy, and the right guy to refer to. So the first 4 weeks are all about segmentation. We spent most of that time talking about the team and the organization and the rest of it. If we need to spend some time on segmentation, we can, but you guys are smart adults and, you know, listen to the videos. You can cover that yourselves. I thought this was most important to get you guys organized around a structure. Now, this is really for the vice president of brand management. What goes in the folders, how are they organized, getting the scheduler, and everything to do with the operations side of leveraging Supernova. Questions on that? So is that, I guess, the Mariana and Tara, is that right?
I think we're working right now to get all of our time slots filled, and we do have holders for every client and our COIs. So right now I think we're okay with our folders. Down the road we'd like to maybe upgrade those a bit. Rob found some new nice doctor office type folders.
They're theirs. They're his.
Oh, they're yours.
They're yours. Yeah.
They're your folders.
They're the Supernova folders.
Supernova folders. So we want to upgrade. Our goal will be to upgrade all of our folders to your folders at one point down the road. And right now, I think we're working on just getting our time slots filled and going from there.
So in terms of content, your content versus my content, any questions on that or any arguments, discussions, or issues?
No.
No,
that's pretty straightforward.
I think your content is really straightforward. The one thing that I was going to ask you is, Rob, is in terms of the prospect folders that I'm going to use, what I had envisioned, the ones that I got have a few more tabs than yours do, because I thought within those prospect folders, we have some client discovery pieces that we use, but I thought I would have one of those in the front and then have a place where I could pull some research off of Google, the Internet, any of those kinds of things, and keep that all within the prospect folder. So if a prospect ever called, I could just pull that out, and the more as I could gain information and fill that in, I would do that. Tell me a little bit about what you think should absolutely be in the prospect folders or what you think of having those extra items in there.
You know, by the time you get building a folder for a prospect, you have a pretty good relationship. You know, he's been probably referred to you. You didn't close him because there was either a time delay or he still was uncomfortable getting rid of his former advisor, and you thought it was strong enough, but they're still kind of on the fence, right?
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. So now what I would do in that case would be what I would do. We call it the puppy dog close or the 90-day program. What I would say to him would be, here, I'd like to meet with you, sit down, talk to him, and say, look, I'm going to treat you, with your permission, I'd like to treat you as if you already said yes. And show you what it's like to be a client of ours. Because, frankly, if you were making the kind of investment in me that you'd be making in any other way, you would have the opportunity to try it out ahead of time. For example, if you were going to buy a new Mercedes, you know, if I were the salesman, I'd give you the Mercedes for the weekend, let you take it home, drive it, see what it feels like. In this case, what we'd like to do is for the next 90 days, give you the opportunity to try out our service. You know, you're not going to know what the investment process would do for you in 90 days, but certainly you know what the service experience is going to be like. So here's your folder, and go through the folder, show them what's in it, and then say, all right, what we're going to do is set you up and have a regularly scheduled appointment each month. And I'm going to send you an agenda based on the information that you've shared with me that's important to you. And then if there's something on the agenda that you'd like to talk about or not on the agenda that you'd like to talk about, please add it to the agenda and we'll bring that up. At the end of the conversation, I'll send you an executive summary of what we discussed, what we agreed to, and next steps, and who's responsible. So what I'll do is I'll with our clients, we meet with them every month on the phone. Four times a year we do in-depth financial planning reviews, and twice a year we meet in person. So it's a very comprehensive approach to your business, but to your life, your financial life. But it is like, you know, we treat you like as if you're the CEO and we're the chief financial officer. We feel very responsible for your the financial side of your family assets. So we'd like to, and liabilities, and so we'd like to really help and show you what we do. And so by the time you've done this for 90 days, just it's only three calls. But by the third call, he says, you know, I haven't even heard from my guy in 6 months. Here you are making all this effort, and it's really not that much effort, truly. You're organized. I see that. You're regularly calling. This is really what I've been missing. And I had no idea this is what you'd really do. See, because they don't have any idea what it's going to really be like to be a client. And what do we tell them? You know, my mousetrap's better than your mousetrap. Well, the truth is, until you demonstrate it, they don't know. So you're not going to do that with everybody, Rob, but, you know, you get a really good prospect that just, you know, his buddy was in his fraternity and, you know, he's old, but he can't say no. He can't, you know. Now you're giving him more information to make a better decision.
Yeah, and that, you know what, Rob, that's perfect because I just met with a guy 2 weeks ago who is that exact situation. He wound up with the team that he's at by two or three other people leaving the business, but now he's by and large their largest client, although he worries about the succession plan. He doesn't think the people coming in behind are as sharp as the other people, but they've been together for a long time, so on and so forth. So that's exactly what I need to do with this guy, Woody, who's got like $15 million.
It's wonderful. Yeah, this would be just perfect. And that's exactly the kind of size we're talking about. And once he sees that, and you know, like I said, the folder doesn't need to be anything more than the folder that I've given you because it's practical. And if he loses it, you send him another one. Not a big leather-bound folder that he's going to put on the shelf and never use. You know, he sticks it in a briefcase or he brings it with him by itself. It's thin, it's easy. If he drops it, it doesn't break. You'd be surprised. Guys with $10, $20, $50 million think it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And it makes you different. And it might be that just that one thing. I can tell you story after story where, you know, that just that one thing made the difference. I had a guy use our you know, our referral model, which is, you know, working with centers of influence. Met with the center of influence a couple of times. He gave him a referral and said the guy's selling his business. There's going to be five people. You know, it's a $70 million opportunity, so, you know, I can't guarantee it, but I'll put you on the list. He went to see the guy, did the whole presentation, and then handed him a folder and did just what we were talking about. And said, look, here's your folder. You know, this is your folder. If and when you choose to be a client, this is how this will work. Exactly. He went through the process and said, stop. Wait a minute. No one else has talked about service. Tell me about this again. And he went through and told him exactly how it worked and said, okay, cancel the other three guys. I'm going with you. That was it. He said, he came back and called me and said, I couldn't believe this.
Well, because what I like about it is that when we sit and sell somebody or make a, you know, talk to them about what we're doing, what we're going to do, everybody else is telling them the exact same thing. And you don't know until you've done business with somebody for 90 days or 6 months whether they really meant it or that was just a good sales pitch.
Well, and isn't that the truth? You know, they pay a little attention to them in the beginning, and then it's call me when you need me.
Right.
I mean, there's no 1242. There's no schedule. Just, you know, and they can go 9 months, a year without calling somebody. And they got $10 million with them. So, you know, most people call in, you know, but it's the client's responsibility. It's like a doctor or something, you know. They have to call in when they need something. There's no outgoing effort. And in this case, you know, if you work for somebody, you're gonna keep them informed. And that's the way we think of it. So it's a servant leadership mentality of serving the client rather than, you know, they should be lucky to have us. And it just gives you powerful ammunition against that, my good old friend Joe, who doesn't do anything, but I hate to leave him, or the third reassignment, and I don't really know him, but, you know, they seem pretty good. Yeah, I had a guy out on the West Coast that used that all the time and loved it. And, you know, people aren't willing to do it because, guess what, it involves work, right? And I always say, do the jobs that nobody wants. You know, create a moat around your practice so that nobody's willing to do the things that you're willing to do and are routine for you. And after a while, guess what? You're going to find that this is no harder, in fact, it's easier than what you were doing before, because your staff is not going to be interrupted every 5 minutes with an emergency. And that's huge. Okay. All right. Tell me about your process working with centers of influence. I don't want to duplicate something that you're already doing very well. How is it working, and how many do you have, and how does it work?
Poorly. We've gotten one referral from our centers of influence in 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years. Well, we've really...
Mm-hmm. I mean... You've gotten better at that. You got Deirdre.
Yeah, that's true.
You got a referral yesterday from your...
Yeah, the real... You know what? Yeah, Sean's right. My pessimism is showing through. It's been not nearly where it needed to be, Rob. Frankly, in the last couple of weeks, last couple of months since we started working together, I think we're working harder on this. And as a result, as Sean points out, we've gotten two opportunities. One of them we closed. Was right at our minimum level, but it was nice that we closed it. But one of the mistakes that I've made in the past is that the way that we had been structured previously and the way Wells liked to structure was that when we had a client with a lot of complex needs and things, we brought in what the firm calls a wealth advisor. He's an attorney. He's a guy who spent some time in the estate planning area and so on and so forth. So he would then talk to the client about those issues. And then what would happen is he would say, okay, well, they need an estate planning attorney. Let me introduce you to a couple. They need a CPA. Let me introduce you to a couple. So as a result, a lot of our currency was used to hire to other COIs who really see Stefan, who's the guy that I'm talking about, as the person that was bringing these deals to the table and not us. So that's a flaw in, I think, how the firm wanted us to run the system, and we're just not going to do that anymore. So what I'd like to do now is to use your enthusiastically endorsed model, and I made a spreadsheet about a week ago after we got done talking where I wanted to make a note of each client, who their CPA was, who their attorneys were, and so on and so forth, and start to collect that information. And then I thought today as I listened to your video that I could say, you know, Sean, I know that I've spoken with, you know, Steve, your CPA, around tax time, frankly, it's been Claudia and Tara and Marina. Let me ask you a question. Is he somebody you could enthusiastically endorse? See where that goes, and then try to go out and meet him. So I thought that my first – I look at it and said I have two COI jobs. The first one is to try to turn this internal COI network that we have into a large source of opportunities, but then also to go out to all of the current COIs that we have with clients now – and just meet them and get to know them, because it seems to me that, you know, we've got a fair amount of commonality. And D.C. is a pretty big area, so you don't find as many CPAs, names coming up over and over again. But Sean and I talked about the other day, there are two or three people that we do have who do use the same CPA, completely unattached to one another. So I think I'll start there.
Yeah. No, that's the, you know, when you start to cross-reference your CPAs, all of a sudden, you know, guy that, you know, you got 100 clients and they got five of them are the same, you go, well, this guy must be pretty good. And then you start asking some questions about him and ask the question, which is, can you enthusiastically endorse him? And they say, oh, yeah, he's fabulous. Then it's definitely, you go see him. And I kind of broke it down into five steps. You don't need five steps. But if you're uncomfortable for some reason in any of this, these are five solid ways of thinking about the process. So the first thing you do is you, and this would be a fresh new one where you've never met him before. You meet him for lunch or your coffee or something and just get to know, you know, the first thing you do is get to know him, see if it'd be a personality match. And then tell him what you do. And this is what we do for our clients. And frankly, this is what I do for my centers of influence. I literally meet with you on a monthly basis. And my goal is to do everything and anything I can to serve you as well as to serve my clients. So the number one thing I know I can do for you is to bring you introductions to people who you would value. So it's important for me to get to know you and to get to know your practice. And for you to get to know us and be comfortable that we're a place where you would be comfortable referring. So here's what I would like to do. I would like to have you meet my team. And we'll do a brief presentation and tell you what it is that we do and who it is that we do it for. Because we're very specific on what we do. And then what I'd like to do is then bring my team to meet your team and get to know each other on a very deep level so that we can work together. And then I'd like to explain to you how we have been so lucky and blessed to have the opportunity to refer so many people to people like yourself. And that's where you explain to him the enthusiastically endorsed model. Because he's going to say, well, it's great, you're bringing me a bunch of people, but what do I do? And you say, you simply use the enthusiastically endorsed model, which is, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? And when they say, no, I'm thinking about making a change, then you bring them, introduce them to us. We'd be happy. And what you want is introductions. You really, you know, that's number one. Can you always get a personal introduction? No, but if you work on it, that's your intention, you'll get that. So, for example, if even if the person's out of town, right? I had a person that needed a new CPA, and they were moving to Dallas, and I knew a guy down in Dallas, and so I connected them, made sure it was a good CPA, and then I became a connector with a conference call and introduced him on the phone to the new CPA. And then I followed up and they hit it off and it's going to turn out to be a great introduction. So I had I had multiple ways of helping, and that, what do I get out of it? Nothing. What do I do? What does it do? It makes my financial advisor down there happy. He helped. CPA happy. And this friend happy. So that's what you can do. Even if you can do it in person, it's best. But if you do it on the phone, it's just fine. It worked out great. So that's what you're a connector. You know, that's what we do. Even if it's not something that we're going to benefit from, as long as it creates a goodwill on the part of the client, it's a winner. It's a huge winner.
And Rob, can I ask you a question? One of the things that, you know, I've heard other FAs talk about, and I hear people kick around from time to time, is also connecting with estate planning attorneys. But the two or three estate planning attorneys I've known personally during my life say they think they're really terrible referral sources because almost all of their clients already have FAs, and 95% of their business is coming from referrals from other FAs and so on and so forth. So they're really very reluctant to get engaged in that game.
I think that's legitimate, except it's not always true. Okay? I think it's a legitimate argument because they are being referred mostly by financial advisors, but you know what? People become discontented, right? People retire. Things change. Life moves on. And there's always opportunities. And people sell businesses, and they don't have a financial advisor, but they're doing estate planning. So you just understand, but, you know, and work on it and just explain to them how to do it. And,
gotcha.
You know, they don't have to just – here's the part that's so interesting. As we did this, right, we went through and guy said, I went to 100 people, all my clients, and I asked them, can they enthusiastically endorse their CPA? And now, you know, I'm kind of running out of referrals for my CPAs. I said, are those the only people that you know? And he said, what do you mean? I said, you can ask anybody that question. So anybody that you know that has money, why don't you ask them that question? You know, I'm curious. I'm always looking for good CPAs in our community. Can you endorse your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Say it to your buddies on the golf course. Say it anywhere, right? It's a great topic. You know, it's like, wow, where'd that come from? Well, I'm a connector. I try to help connect people, and so I'm really looking for people that are really good. And they go, no, my CPA is terrible. I'm thinking about needing a new one. So guess what? You just got yourself a referral opportunity to give. And remember, that's your job. Your job isn't to get. Your job is to give. When you get your brain around that, you get pretty good at it. Because you can give as many as, you know, and how painful is it to give a referral? Not at all, right?
No.
You can do tons of those. And so that's your job. So that's why I call it the giving board. You know, so that's what we're going to measure on the Monday board is how many people did we help? How many things did we make happen? How many people did we connect? How did we give? And everybody can give. So once, you know, we kind of went past the client thing and got into, well, how many people do you know? I know probably, you know, my own community, 500, maybe more. You know, my buddy has, once you go over 5,000 people on LinkedIn, you can't add anymore. They can only follow you then. He's past 5,000.
Jeez.
So, he's a networker. You know, he's very good at it. He's in the spirits business. It's actually my son-in-law. But I mean, he's kind of a celebrity in the business of spirits and beverages. So giving is, you know, that's what you can give and give and give. Does that help, Rob?
It does, thanks.
Yeah, we covered some good topics. You guys are doing great, by the way. You're a really good team. I'm very impressed. You're picking up on this stuff. You're doing your homework. You're watching the videos. I don't have to explain everything. You're asking good questions. You're taking actions. You're not just monitoring the course. you can't imagine how you can imagine. You're good because you're good, because you move, and I can tell already, you know, from this, that you're very, very good at this. You're going to really take advantage of this. So the answer is, with our estate planning attorneys, fabulous centers of influence, no. Getting one that can, that's articulate and will do their job and you trust, that's the most important thing. And then help them, and then, you know what, some way they're going to figure out a way to deliver an introduction to you. And just explain that to them. Look, I know, but those aren't the only people you know, right? You don't just know clients. You know other people. You can always ask that question because you can always be excited about us. Now, people say, well, I don't want to take all those steps. You know, I think I'll just meet with a guy and he'll trust me and send me introductions. But, you know, until they really know what you want, and plus you really need to explain to them what you want. Plus, guess what? If you guys perfect this five-star model thing and get your pitch down, you bring a CPA in, it's great practice for you. So each of the vice presidents stands up and gives 2 minutes on what they do and how they do it, why they're, you know, how the team is organized, and why you're different, why you're better. And then when you go visit his office and meet his staff, he's going to try his best to do as good a job as you're doing, but he can't because you're way too bad. You're much more organized than he is. So they're going to be very impressed. And that shoots you from number 5 on his list up to number 1 just from that, maybe from that one meeting when he sees what a difference there is between you and the rest. And regarding the referring to, you know, wealth managers, you know, that was great when we didn't know anything. But today, you know, we all need to be wealth managers. We all really need to know what we're doing when it comes to this work. And when you hand it off to somebody else, they're the ones with the credibility then.
Exactly.
And I don't want to ever have that happen for you guys. And you're right, then they refer to him. They're the person that really, you're the guy that, you're the salesman and he's the wealth manager. Well, that game's over.
Yes, it is.
All right, so for, homework, here's what I would love you to do. I can only ask you to do what I'd love you to do, all right? And that would be to try this five-step process with a really good center of influence. You can do it with one you already know to practice it, or you can try it out on somebody brand new. But I'd like to have them come in and meet your team and have your team stand up and introduce themselves. And show them, I call it looking underneath the tent. This is how we monitor activity. This is how, you know, on Fridays we have the game board, so on. Everybody goes through their thing. And just show them what you do. I think they'd be very impressed. And I think it'd be wonderful for you guys. So that's your homework.
All right.
Right? It's hard, but, you know. You guys, you did a good job of writing up your roles and responsibilities. You're now tracking it. You're ready for step 3, which is showing off. And the other thing to do is be to try it out on your manager first, because guess who's going to be really impressed? And it doesn't hurt to have, you know, your internal centers of influence very impressed with what you do. And it's good practice.
Good. That's a good idea.
Yeah. It's really smart. But guess who, you know, when they have a case or a situation that needs special care, you're the guy to go to then.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
Wonderful. Great work, guys.
Yeah.
Can't wait next week. All right.
Thanks. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.